Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast and the Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, Dr. Les Olala. Here we are with a great topic. We're right in the middle of a series entitled Keys to Success as part of a bigger series that we're doing entitled Developing a Marathon Mindset. And all of those broadcasts, for those of you joining us today, are available on our website, www.thewordforlife.org. But, Doc, we began talking last week about developing a marathon mindset and talked about the fact that 2008 needs to be a year that we approach by cultivating a certain number of virtues and qualities and characteristics in our life. And you had seven of them that you listed out for us. Might be worthwhile just quickly reviewing those for our audience.
Dr. Maxwell had pointed out there are seven attributes of a marathon mindset, and one was a vision for the whole race. Mm-hmm. See the whole picture. Mm-hmm. We're going to be switching to that direction as the second key to success. And then secondly, a commitment to preparation. It's not just something that I have a vision. No, there has to be a commitment. Right. I am going to get the steps in place. That's mm-hmm. a hard thing to do right. because we have to get the steps. Number three, a willingness to endure pain or discomfort. There is going to be a price, and there will be pain. Number four, a daily regimen that happens both before the day begins and after the day ends. What is going to be that daily regimen? Mm-hmm. And then a focus on the goal. I won't lose sight of where I'm going. And then a determination to never give up. I'm not going to stop. And then realize that the run is worth the effort.
Last time we were together, you introduced us to the first key, and that was the key of having a bad memory. And that was an unusual way of putting it, but I thought it was very effective.
Well, that was Philippians 3:10. Paul says, forgetting that which is behind. And he said, I have not apprehended. I'm not perfect. And that is such an encouragement to us as believers who go day to day thinking sometimes we'll never make it. And yet Paul says, I have not attained. I am not already perfect. But I follow after that.
Well, I think the thing that was very convicting to me was the three steps of that forgetting, which involved conviction and really coming to grips honestly with what God's convicting you, and then confessing that, agreeing with God about that. That's the part I always have struggle with. Now, that brings us in really to the second major key that you've talked about.
We went from having a bad memory to having a good vision. We look at this whole concept, forget and focus. Mm. Forgetting that which is behind, now we get to the word focus. Pressing forth unto the things which are before, I press to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So now Paul is entering a different thing. Okay, I'm forgetting what's past, but that's not just enough. I'm going to forget what's past and then sit. Whatever is past, I'm going to let be past. Mm-hmm. Name some things that you think Paul would have had a hard time as he looked back, and now as a believer, formerly one who hated the way,
what
would be some things that Paul just had to let go?
I think that would have been very hard for him to look back over all of the difficulty he caused for believers when he persecuted them. He even brought them and caused them to be killed.
Dragged them, imprisoned them. His anger became more intense as he pressed to the north. As the gospel went from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, I could see then on to the uttermost parts. I think Saul of Tarsus was so determined that he was going to follow that same route. Started in Jerusalem, Judea. Now he was heading further north. He was all the way up to Damascus, persecuting the way. And I think had he not gotten saved, I think he would have gotten where any place the gospel went.
Had gone. But I think that was very hard for Paul to get over, that he had done that.
Except that he knew he was what he was by the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:10.
And that's where that bad memory comes in.
What a magnification of the grace of God, because you have to let it go.
Yeah.
Christ paid for that. It's under the blood. And if you're going to have any success, any fruit bearing in your Christian life in this year, you cannot be looking back at something that trapped you in the past, something that hurt you badly, and you feel marred your testimony, maybe with your family, or maybe with your coworkers.
Or church. Some ministry venture,
And anything of that nature.
How do I develop this concept of having the right focus? I mean, I can see leaving the past behind, and you've helped us with that. But now how do I turn the corner and establish a new focus for the year?
Psalm 1 and Joshua 1:8, it has to be centered in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Blessed is the man who is a blessable person. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's a contrast here. But his delight, here's a key word, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay, so the key then is there has to be a perpetual domination in the prominent part of my thinking on the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I can't be driving trucks through Atlanta traffic and have my mind not on that traffic, but I can still be thinking God's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
When I stop at a rest area or when I stop at a truck stop to eat, then I have a time to take the Word out. I have it up in the mirror. I might be a businessman. I might be an attorney. I might be somebody who is a CPA, and I'm in my office, but prominently displayed before me is my verse for the day, my survival verse for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the key begins with that focus in the morning on God's Word, because that is the revelation of who He is.
Right.
That's all we have to describe who He is.
And that sets the vision for the
day. That sets the vision for the day. And then, obviously, a surrender that has to take place in our hearts. But a lot of times we don't know where we're going. I mean, what is your focus? First of all, it involves vision. Where am I going?
Mm-hmm.
A good thing for you to do at the beginning of this new year is sit down, maybe you and your family, after you've done your individual goals, share as a family. Say, Bill, you're 13 years old. What have you written as your
goals for the
goals for this year in all categories, physically, spiritually, church? Have you set a goal to lead at least one person to Christ this year?
Wow, that's a great idea.
Have you set a goal to read through the Bible one time this year? Have you set a goal to memorize at least one verse a week? Or whatever that may be, there is a plan that you have.
And then you can review it at certain points in the year.
And maybe a pastor listening and say, well, one of the goals is for the church to see God's good hand on that ministry and see the refreshing of souls being saved, believers getting baptized, and then being discipled to go on and become reproductive people. And you might be sitting discouraged and saying, I'm not seeing that happen. I'm not seeing that happen. Set the church to praying. Get your vision set for that. I remember years ago, I preached a message called Ingredients for Success. Back in that era, I think probably was the early 70s, there was a book written by Maxwell Maltz called Psycho-Cybernetics. Some of you old-timers may remember that book. Maxwell Maltz pointed out back in the old torpedoes that would be fired off these submarines and off these ships, there was in the nose cone a goal-striving mechanism. In other words, when that torpedo was sent out from that ship, it was going to a target.
It was seeking that target.
It was seeking that target. That was where, when it was fired, it was seeking that target. But Maltz pointed out it would go by negative feedback. In other words, if it was heading for that target, it would get a little bit off course. Negative feedback would correct it. And then it would go again and maybe the other direction. Negative feedback would correct it, but it kept it on course. And what he was pointing out, that we go through life and we set our visions and we set our goals of what we want to do in life, whether it's spiritual goals or whether it's our business goals. And he said, negative feedback happens.
And we get off track.
And we get off track. And he pointed out that most people quit. I think the percentage he gave was like 85% quit after the first negative feedback. 15%, I think he said, 10%, whatever it was, quit after the second negative feedback. And he said 5% ultimately go on to their stated goal. And then he interestingly pointed out that the wealth of the world is controlled by 5% of the population of the world.
That puts a whole new meaning to negative feedback, because normally we resist negative feedback, and negative feedback is how God gets us back on track sometimes.
I thought it was an interesting point, that is, you have to learn how to handle things that are not going your way.
Right. That's typically what throws us off track.
Yeah, and usually you'll say, well, I can survive that. Then you get blasted a second time, and then you say, boy, that is not, I'm done. I'm quitting. That's not what I'm going to do. You'll see people who go on and on and on to success. How many failures did Edison have before he finally came up with a successful light bulb? And I mean, it was hundreds of failures. How many times did Abraham Lincoln fail before he finally
became the president,
but he just did not give up?
So what are those ingredients you mentioned? You said there were some ingredients you had for success. What are those?
Number one, I put down, name your desire. Where are you going? You have to say, this is what I want to do. Psalm 37:4 is a great challenge. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Another one, commit thy ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 15:3. Discipline. It goes back to previous broadcasts. What am I going to pay? What price will I pay? David said, early will I seek thee. We're familiar with the shortest commencement address ever given by Winston Churchill. He stood up to speak, and this was his commencement address. Never, 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 never give up. I think it was seven words or nine words maybe. Depends on how many times he said never.
Yeah.
And there was a roar of standing ovation longer than a normal message would have been.
Wow.
But he was communicating the fact that there is a price. Proverbs 20 and verse 4, the sluggard will not plan because he said it's cold. I'm not going outside. Proverbs 14:4, the poor deal with a slack hand. There is a discipline. And, you know, one of the things that we struggle with is, when do we say no and when do we say yes? And I came up with a little formula. I have to learn how to say no to myself for the benefit of others. And then I have to learn how to say no to others for the benefit of myself, when we need God's wisdom to do that. Then there's dependence. He's the one who gives strength. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, that makes rich. I remember reading a long time back, you haven't lived until you know what you want written on your tombstone.
Powerful.
And then direction. How will I do it? What is going to be my plan? And that goes back,
to that negative feedback we were talking about.
What about family time? What about these other areas of my life? So that's under vision.
So desire, discipline, dependence, and direction. Four simple keys to having the right vision.
Right. Where am I going this year? And it just doesn't happen by sitting in a recliner.
Yeah, it's like you said, we have to write it down. We have to think through it.
And then write down, what price will I pay to make it happen?
Well, Doc, this has been very helpful as we've started out in our second broadcast in the series Keys to Success. And for those of you listening, let me encourage you to go to our website, www.thewordforlife.org. And we'll look forward to the next broadcast in which we find out the final parts of these keys to success. So, Doc, thank you for sharing with us. And until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.